Good morning. Thank you for coming. So I know we're still on a high from Matan Torah yesterday, and we're bracing ourselves for the weeks of laws and what seems like somewhat boring parshios coming up in the rest of Shemos and Vayikra. But you can't hear me? Okay, sorry. I'd like to focus today on one of the few remaining narratives, I guess not remaining because we read it yesterday, one of the few narratives at the end of Sefer Shemot, and that's the story of Yisroel. Is this better? So I'd like to start by examining the psukim, even though probably most of us are familiar with the story, just to get a sense of what we're talking about, and then we'll take it from there. So to start, it's not working. I'm not working. Let's start with source number two, which is Vayikra Perek Yud, and that's the story of Yisroel Pasuk Aleph. Vayishma Yisroel Kohen Midian Kotei Moshe et Kol Asher Asa Elokim Moshe LYisrael Amo Ki Yotzi Hashem Yisrael B'Mitzrayim. So we start our story speaking of Yisroel, who is defined as not only the priest of Midian but also the father-in-law of Moshe. And we are told that he heard what Hashem had did to the Moshe and the Jews, Ki Yotzi Hashem Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, that he had taken them out of Mitzrayim. And this is motivation for him in Pasuk Bet, Vayikach Yisroel Kotei Moshe et Tzipora Ishe Moshe Achar Shiluchha. It's a motivation for him to gather Tzipora, his daughter, and his grandchildren, who are Moshe's wife and children. And they're going to now go and meet up with Moshe and the rest of the Jewish people in the Midbar. And the question on this Pasuk says, Achar Shiluchha. Why does it need to tell us that she had been sent away? So if we turn to source number 7, which sorry, is on the bottom of the sheet, Ramban on this pasuk, Achar Shiluchha, Ba'avur she'ezkira katu vayikach Moshe ishto v'banav vayishev arta mitzrayim. So if you remember back to Shmuel Parak Dalet, which is source number 6, right on top of the Ramban, when Moshe got the word from Hashem that he should return to Mitzrayim and see the Jewish people, he takes his family with him. He takes Tzipora and his two sons, and they go on their way to Mitzrayim, and that's the last you hear. So the pasuk needs to tell us, Achar Shiluchha, that Hutzrach Lomarkan Shaita B'Beit Aviha, Ki Moshe Shalchasha, that she indeed had been sent back home, otherwise we would not have known that Tzipora had returned home. We would have thought that she was with Moshe this whole time. So the pasuk tells us that when Israel heard that Hashem had saved the Jewish people from Mitzrayim, he takes Tzipora and his grandchildren, since they were now at home, they've been sent back from Mitzrayim, and they go to meet Moshe in the Midbar. And the Mefarshim asks, why, in fact, was Tzipora and her children sent home if Moshe had thought it appropriate to take them in the first place? And the Mefarshim give different answers. Rashi quotes the Midrash. She said that when Moshe met Aaron on the way to Mitzrayim, Aaron said to him, you're coming to save the Jews, you're going to bring more Jews into Mitzrayim? It doesn't make any sense. Rav Hirsch on the top of the next page explains Achar Shiluchha. It stands to reason that under the pressure of his duties and to be able to devote himself entirely to the fulfillment of his mission, Moshe had sent his wife and children back from Egypt to his father-in-law. But because of his new role, he just didn't have time to spend time with his family, and so it would have been better for them to be home. But he adds, this sending home was not misunderstood and did not harm their relationship. Yisro remained Chod Moshe, and Tzipor remained Isha Moshe. So Rav Hirsch is explaining another piece of the process, why it has to identify each of these characters, even though we know their relationship to Moshe already, why it has to say that Yisro was Moshe's father-in-law, Tzipor was Moshe's wife, even though Moshe had sent them home, this didn't get in the way of their relationship. He still remains the father-in-law, and she still remains the wife. Okay, so let's turn back to source number 2. So not only does Yisroel take Tzipora the wife, Psukim Gimel and Dalet, he also takes the grandchildren, Veshnei Baneha, Shashem Achad Yershom, Veshem Achad Eliezer, Pasekei Vayevu Yisroel Kotei Moshe Avanav Yishtel Moshe Amibar Asher Bukhonasham Har HaElokim. So they go to greet Moshe in the Midbar, in the desert where he is camped at Har Sinai. Vayomer, and so he sends a message to Moshe. Vayomer al Moshe, Anicho ten chayit ro ba'ilacha v'ishtamah v'shnei manah imah. We're here, we've come to greet you. Vayetzi Moshe lekatzot no. And Moshe now comes out to greet his father-in-law. Vayishtachu vishaklo vishalu ishver elu shalom. Vayibo ha'amela. There's this emotional meeting, and they haven't seen each other in so long, and they hug and they kiss and they go inside. Vayisaper Moshe lechot no. Et kol asher asa shalu faro lumitzrayim aladu Yisrael. Et kol atla asher mitzatam vayderach vayatzilim Hashem. Sit down, and Moshe now tells him, he fills Yitro in on everything that he's missed, everything that has happened to the Jewish people since they last spoke. Now, if you remember, Moshe got the word to go and save the Jewish people while he was living in his father-in-law's house. So Yitro actually knew what Moshe's mission was, but he hasn't actually caught up with Moshe since then. So now they have a chance to sit down, and Moshe can fill him in on all the wonderful things that have happened since they last spoke. And Yisro is obviously very impressed, and he's moved by what Moshe tells him in Pasuk Tet. Vayichad Yisro al kol tova asher asa shom Yisrael asher hitzilo miyad Mitzrayim. Vayom Yisro baruch Hashem asher hitzilachem miyad Mitzrayim miyad paro asher hitzilat amitacha yad Mitzrayim. And he blesses God, baruch Hashem. Pasuk Yid Aleph, Ataya dati. And Yisro, remember, was identified in Pasuk Aleph as the Kohen Midyan. He's a priest of another nation, of a pagan nation, a polytheistic nation. Atayadati, now I know, he says, Higadol Hashem, Mikol Ha'elokim, that this Hashem, this God of yours, is greater than any other God that I've ever experienced. Kidvadavar Asher Zadu Aliyam. And so, by Yikach Yitro Chotei Moshe, Ulaz Vachim Elokim, he brings Karbanot, he sits down to eat. And that's the end of the first part of our story with Yisro. It's divided into two sections. Pesukim Aleph Vav. That's Yitro gathering the family and coming to meet Moshe. Pesukim Zayin Yubet is the encounter Yitro Moshe. Yitro is obviously moves to the point where he recognizes the singular God, the God of Israel. A couple of things that I think stand out in these Pesukim is, first of all, if you notice, the first half we divided Aleph through Vav. The focus is mostly on the family. Obviously, we're talking about Yisro, but it's all about he gathers the wife, he gathers the children, they go to meet Moshe, he sends a message, I'm here with your wife and with your children, and they're your wife and they're your children, but you still love them and they still love you. And then as soon as Moshe gets there, he kisses Yisro, they have a whole conversation. The wife and children are absent from the rest of the story, which seems very strange. We never really hear much about them at all, again, in the rest of the Torah. And the second thing I'd like to point out, and we're going to come back to this later, is that even though it starts off in Pasuk Aleph, Vayishma Yitro, Yisro heard about all the miracles, or he had heard about Yitziat Mitzrayim, it's not until he actually sits down with Moshe and they have a conversation, and Moshe tells him exactly what happened, that he ultimately says, Ataya Dati Ki Gadol Hashem. Now I know who Hashem is. Okay, so we're going to come back to these points later. That's part one of our story. Part two of our story starts in Pasuk Yigimel, Vayimi Macharat, and it's the following day. And some Farshim interpret that it's literally the following day. Others interpret differently. We're going to see that later as well. And then we have the famous story, Vayishav Moshe L'shpot Et Ha'am, Vayamot Ha'am Moshe Min HaBoker Acharav. So Moshe sits down L'shpot to judge the people, and he sits there all day, and the people are standing up, they're lining up to ask him questions until evening. And Yisro sees this, and it seems crazy to him. I think it's significant also. Remember, Yisro is the Kohen Midyan, so he himself is the leader. Clearly, he did not have this experience where people would just line up from morning till night to asking questions. And Moshe just needs to sit there from morning till night answering questions. Vayomer Moshe lechos no, so Moshe responds, Ki avo elai ledrosh, ha'am ledrosh elokim. What am I doing here? Well, the people are coming to me to seek out God. Ki yelam davar ba'elai. So they have something they need to discuss with me, they come to me. V'shachasi v'ish v'ein re'ehu. And I judge the people. And I also teach them Hashem's laws and Hashem's Torah. So, based on this pasuk, Abar Benel, which you got all merged together on the source sheet, but it's supposed to be in different paragraphs. If you turn to source 15, let's see if it's four lines from the bottom of the source in the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says that Yisro actually had four different jobs. Vayi Maharat is the next day. Vayishe Moshe Lashbura Ha'am, that's our pasuk. Kifi Avshat, Hayazam Maharat Hayom, Shaba Yisro Moshe. So Abarbanel is explaining what we do, that according to the Pshat, this was in fact the next day, the following day, from the day Yisro showed up. Sha'at Yashab Moshe Lashbura Ha'am. And then he explains, Mehem hayu ba'im ledrosh elokim. So on the words ledrosh elokim, Abarbanel says Moshe's first job was to deal with people who wanted to seek God in the sense of ledat ma'i yehatidim. They were looking for answers about the future. Yes. Source number 15. I know, it's out of order, I apologize. Four lines from the bottom. Okay. Okay, so his first job was to deal with people who wanted to know the future. Now we're actually three lines from the bottom, towards the end. Umehem yavo l'tachlit acher, v'hu l'tzorchei tzibur. And then there were people who would come to him for what he says are tzorchei tzibur, deal with issues of the community. Umehem yavo gam l'inyan hamishpat v'divrei rot v'dinim. And then also come for issues of, judgments. People were having disagreements that needed to be, they didn't have disputes that needed to be dealt with according to the law. And finally, his fourth job, to learn Torah, basically. So it sounds like Moshe had four jobs according to the Abarbanel, and he explains. He was a Navi, he was a Melech, a Dayan, and a Melami, a prophet, a king, a judge, and a teacher. Which kept Moshe pretty busy. Busier than it kept Yisro to be a couple of days. Okay, we're going to turn back now to source number two. Okay, so the rest of the story is familiar to us. Yisro says, this is crazy, you shouldn't be the one to be dealing with all four of these responsibilities all by yourself, all day. You need to have a new solution, and therefore you have to choose people to help you. You need to get wise, smart, people who are upstanding members of the community, who are well respected, and you're going to have people in charge of thousands, hundreds, fifties, up to 10 people. And anything that's too difficult for any of these people to deal with, you'll deal with. But the rest of it will be dealt by these other people, and that will give you a lot more time. You shouldn't have to be sitting here from morning till night, every day, day in and day out. Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Vayishmai Moshe l'kol chotno, vayas kol asher asa. Moshe listens to his father-in-law's advice. Vayichar Moshe chechayel miko Yisrael v'yitein otzal Mashiach Rashim al ha'am Yisrael v'yitein otzal Mashiach Yisrael v'yitein otzal Mashiach. And he indeed chooses people to be over the, in charge of different numbers of groups of people. And Pasuk Chav Zayin Vayishalach Moshe chotno vayilach lo el arzo. Moshe then sends Yisrael home. And that's the end of our story. So it sounds like we have one solid complete unit. The beginning of Parak Yechet, Yisro comes, he brings the family, they have this reunion, he speaks to Moshe. The next day he sees something that bothers him about the way Moshe is dealing with the people. He gives a suggestion, Moshe indeed likes the suggestion, he implements it, and then Yisro goes home. So in addition to some of the things you pointed out, which we haven't yet dealt with, I want to ask three questions on the story, and then spend the rest of the time hopefully answering them. Three questions that I want to ask are, first of all, when did this story take place? Second of all, what actually motivated Israel to come? And the third question is, what can we learn from all this? Okay. Is this better? Okay, again, I have three questions. When did Israel come? What motivated him to come? And what can we learn from all this? Okay. No. Yes. Oh, Moshe. Okay. The Bar Minhag was talking about the four jobs of Moshe, not the four jobs of Yisro. Okay. So at first glance, the answers to these questions seem quite simple. When did Yisro come? So we need to just look to the context. What happened before, what happened after, and we're able to figure out when he came. And so we'll start with the first source, which is Parikya Dvayeshu, which comes right before our story in the Torah, and that was part of the Sapdashala. Vayisu called out the names from the regards to Ilamasihem, Alfi Hashem, Vayachanu Rifidin. So the Jewish Yivar camped in a place called Rifidin in the Midbar. And two famous stories happen in Rifidin. The first one is what we call Masa Umariba. That's the first story where there wasn't enough water for the Jews to drink, and Moshe hits the rock, and this time he was supposed to hit the rock, and water comes out for the people. And the second thing that happens in Rifidin is the war with Amalek, Melchamet Amalek. That's where they come and attack. And that's how Parak Yitzayin ends. So the Jewish people in Rifidin, they now have water flowing from a rock, and they've successfully defeated Amalek, and now Hashem is very angry with the people of Amalek, and he commands us to memorialize, to remember what happened, and we have a Melchama Hashem Amalek, Midor. That for every generation, we have this imperative to defeat Amalek. That's what happens right before. Right after, source number three, Parakeet Tad and Shemot, and that was, again, the continuation of this week's parsha, B'chodesh HaShishi, the Tzid Kamei Shomer, Tzitzrayim, B'yom HaZeh Ba'o Mibar Sina. So after Yitro comes, and he leaves, then we're told Bnei Yisrael travel to Midbar Sinai, Pasuket, Vayisu Merifidim. So only now do they leave Refidim, Vayivo Midbar Sinai, and they come to Midbar Sinai, Vayachanu Midbar, Vayichan Shem Yisrael Neged Har. And they camp at the foot of the mountain. So they are now at Har Sinai, ready to accept the Torah, and by the end of the parak, they've already prepared. They wait a few days, Moshe goes up to the mountain, and they are given the Aser HaDibra. So the story of Israel in the Torah is placed right, it's in between the story of the war with Amalek and the giving of the Torah. And presumably, the Jewish people are still camped in Rephidim when Yisro comes and when he leaves. The reason that this isn't so simple, or one, some of the reasons that this isn't so simple, is if you remember, first of all, Pasuk Hey, back in source number 2, Parak Yichet. When Yisro gathers a family and comes to meet Moshe, it says, "Vayavo Yisro chotei Moshe uvanav Yisro el Moshe." They come to greet Moshe, "El haMidbar Hashem uchoneshem haha Elokim." So they come to meet Moshe in the Midbar, in the desert where he's camped, and where is that? At haha Elokim, which is Har Sinai. So the pasuk seems to be implying that the Jewish people are already camped at Har Sinai, and yet we know, based on the flow of the pesukim here, that where are the people? They're in Rephidim. They haven't gotten to Midbar Sinai yet. That's problem number one. Problem number two, when Moshe sits to judge the people, and Yisro says to him, "What are you doing?" So Pasuk Tet Zayin, Moshe responds, "Ki yelam davar ba'elai shachati ve'nishu ve'me'enu godati et chukei ha'lokim ve'et torota." Well, I'm teaching them God's Torah. Right? I am a milamed, as Davar Benel says. So problem number two is, again, they haven't yet gotten the Torah. So how can it be that Moshe spends his days teaching Torah? Torah wasn't given yet. And just to complicate things a little bit more, if you look at source number 4 on our sheet, which is Paragiyot in Midbar, so just to give you an idea of what's happened since then, the Jewish people, from the time they got to Har Sinai until the time they left, took about a year. When they got there, we saw in Chodesh HaShishi, which is the very beginning of Nisan, they traveled from Har Sinai in Chaf Iyar of the second year, so it's just about 12 months later. In that time, they got the Torah, they had Cheda Egel, they got a new set of luchot, they built the Mishkan, they set up a camp, they set up an army. They're about to go now and travel into Eretz Yisrael, and that's supposed to be their final resting place. Exactly as they were about to leave, we find the conversation between Moshe and someone named Chovah ben Reuel Hamidyani Chotein Moshe, which, if you look in source number 5, Rashi identifies Chovah, who Yitro is. According to most of the Mepharshim, Chovah, in this case, is Yitro. Not everybody, but Yabar Benel. I mean, sorry, he doesn't suggest that perhaps this is a brother of Tzipor instead of her father, but the consensus among most of the Mepharshim is this is Yitro. So they have a conversation, Pasuk Chav Tet, and Moshe turns to his father, and he says, "Nus im anachnu el ha-makom asher amar Hashem otzortim lachem, so Moshe turns to Yisro and says, "We have been sitting in Har Sinai now for a year. Hashem has finally given us the word to go. Please come with us." And all the good that we are, Hashem is going to give you, you will benefit from. Or sorry, everything Hashem is going to give us, you will benefit from as well. But Yomer Elav Lo Eileh, Kim El Arzi Vel Manah Hulad Etzileh. And Yisrael says, no, I don't want to come. I'd rather go home. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Moshe comes back and says, no, please. Again, it's going to be good for you. You're going to benefit from this. He says, Al King Adata Chanotinu Bamibar Vahika Lanu Leinayim. Which according to the simplest understanding of these Pesukim is that you know the desert well, because you live around here, you can be our eyes, you'll be our tour guide, you'll help guide us through the desert. And then once you get to Eretz Yisrael, again, every good that Hashem is going to give us, He'll give you as well. And then Pasuk Lam Gimel, Vayisu Mehar Hashem, Narav Shosha Yamim, Narav Bit Hashem, Yisrael Klam, so now they leave Har Sinai. Again, they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael, and we don't know if Yisrael came with them or not. So probably that's first problem. Does he come? Does he stay? We don't know. But the bigger problem for our purposes is, why is he here? Right? He left in the last pasuk of Parakei Tzadik Sefer Shmot, which is 11 months ago, 11 and a half months ago. And we're never told that he comes back. So did he leave or did he stay? Is this one story? Is this two stories? Did it happen before Matan Torah? Did it happen after Matan Torah? So those are all the questions you have to deal with, figuring out when did the story of Israel take place. So this question is first addressed in the Gemara, on source number 10 of the sheet. The Gemara says, "The Itmar bnei Rabbi Chiya Rabbi Yishu ben Levi, chad amar Yisro kodem matan Torah haya, v'chad amar Yisro achar matan Torah haya." So there's a machloket, there's a disagreement in the Gemara. One opinion says that Yisro came before matan Torah, and that seems to be the simplest reading of the Pesukim. That's where the story occurred. And we know there is a principle of in muktam u'meuchar b'Torah, which means not, as some people think, that there's just no order to the Torah, but that the Torah is usually in chronological order, but sometimes there are certain exceptions in which the Torah goes out of order. So according to the first opinion, this is not one of those exceptions. He doesn't think that the questions are compelling enough to say that the Torah went out of order here. The Chad Amar Yisroel achar matan Torah haya, but according to the second opinion, the Gemara, he says, no, these problems are compelling, and we're going to say that in this case the Torah is under order. And the Gemara tells us, this is based on a machloket Tanan, by Yishma Yitro Kuhin Moshelet, Pasuk Aleph of Perek Yitchet, that Yisro had heard something which motivated him to come. Mash Ma Shama Uba Min Tzgayer, what did he hear that motivated Moshe to come? And according to this opinion, Min Tzgayer, that Moshe Yitro actually came to convert. We'll come back to this later. So there are three opinions of what it was that he heard. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Lachamet Amalek Shema. And he had heard about the war with Amalek, and that's what motivated him to come. And that obviously makes sense, because that's the story that comes right before Yitro and the Torah. So it makes sense to say that that is what motivated him. Rabbi Elazar Hamotai Omer, Matan Torah Shema. But it wasn't this war with Amalek, but it was actually Matan Torah. So according to this opinion, clearly Yitro came after Matan Torah. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kriyat Yamsu Shema Uvav. And Rabbi Lezer gives a third opinion. It wasn't the war with Amalek, but it was Kriyat Yamsuf, which was a bigger event that happened before Matan Torah than motivated him to come. But we see that there are two basic opinions. There's before Matan Torah, and then there's the after Matan Torah. So the Mefarshim actually come out on both sides of this argument, and some of them are also in the middle as well. So we're going to look at four different opinions. So how do you get four from two? I guess we'll find out. And we're going to start with the opinion of the Ibn Ezra. And the Ibn Ezra goes all the way to one extreme. And he says, these questions in the Pesukim are so compelling that we have to say the whole story of Israel happened after Matan Torah. Now, of course, if you say, in any case, Ein Mukdam Meuchar B'Torah, that there's something in the Torah that's out of order, you then have to explain why it's out of order and why it's inserted in a different place, which you will do. But first, let's just understand his reasoning for the placement of the Pesukim. So this is the Ibn Ezra, source number 11. Well, the Fida Ati, the Ibn Ezra says, in my opinion, Shaloba Rak Bishana Hashemit Achar Sheukam HaMishkan. That Yisro did not come to the desert, to the Midbar, to meet Moshe and the rest of Israel until the second year after the Mishkan had already been built, which is around the time of the Pesukim in the Midbar, when Moshe and Yisro have their conversation about whether or not he should stay with them. And then the Ibn Ezra gives his reasons. And we saw three, he actually adds two more. This first one is Ketuba Parsha, Ola Zachim Elokim. We saw that when Yitro, after his conversation with Moshe, and he's so inspired, and Moshe told him that he brings Korbanot. So even as it says, Volo Yizkir Shemana Mizbeach Hadash, but he doesn't build a Mizbeach. So clearly he must have had to use one that was already in existence, and it must have been the Mizbeach in the Mishkan. So therefore the Mishkan had already been built. We're going to see that this isn't a very compelling argument, in addition to the fact that he could have just built one without telling us. But we also see in after the story of Amalek that there was a Mizbeach built. So, no question. Go ahead, like that answer. Yes. Those Mepharshim who say that Yitro came after Matan Torah would have to say that Tzipor didn't rejoin her family Moshe until after Matan Torah. Well, he was still pretty busy. Yeah. He was on a mountain for probably three times 40 days. So there wasn't much of a family. Okay. So that's proof number one for Ibn Ezra. The second thing, again, is what we have mentioned. It says that Moshe spends his time teaching Torah. So clearly the Torah had to have been given already. And then he says, and he thinks his best proof is that Moshe comes El HaMivar Shehu Choneshan Har Elokim, which we also mentioned. Yisro comes to meet Moshe at Har Sinai. And it sounds like Hashem Choneshem, that they had been there for a long time already. And so therefore, he concludes it must have been after Matan Torah. And the final proof that we haven't seen yet is based on the Pesukim of Devarim in source number 12. Source number 12, Devarim is kind of a recap of everything that happened to the Jewish people so far. So Moshe tells the people that Hashem Elohim Tiber Elena Bechorev Lemur Rabbacham Shevet Behar Hazah. When God came to me and said that it was time to leave Har Sinai, we had been sitting here for too long, Penu usibu lachem uvo har amore, it's time to travel. Pasuk tet, ba'omar alachem ba'ith mi lemor, v'luchal levadis eilechem. At that time, I came to you and I said, you are too much for me to deal with by myself. Pasuk yid gemol, havu lachem anashim chachamim unibonim v'yidu'im l'shevteichem v'asimim v'roshichem. And so, at that point, I had to appoint other people to help me judge the nation. These are some of the terms that Israel used to describe the type of people that Moshe should choose to help him judge the nation. And it breaks down the same way that we saw in Yisro's suggestion to Moshe, that you should have people over 1,000, over 100 people, over 50, and over 10. And so Ibn Ezra and some of the other Mepharshim conclude that based on these Pesukim and Devarim, when did Moshe implement Yisro's plan? It wasn't until Hashem had come to him and said, it's time to leave Har Sinai. And therefore he concludes that it wasn't until the end of their stay in Har Sinai, around the time of Chaf Iyar, when they were about to travel, that Yisro even came, and the next day he gave his advice and Moshe implemented it. Well, we're going to see that. Some people say that also. He gave it like before and it was implemented. Okay. Jump the gun. All right, that's the opinion of the Ibn Ezra. So he says, therefore, the whole story, everything from beginning to end, when Israel comes, Israel leaves, it all took place over a couple of days, and it all took place a year after they got into Matan Torah, right before they leave to travel towards Eretz Israel. And of course, he's going to need to explain why it's right here, if it didn't happen until a year later, but we'll come back to that later. In the meantime, we just want to see the other opinions. So we're going to go now to source number 13, which is the opinion of the Ramban. And the Ramban takes the exact opposite approach. He asks a couple of questions on Ibn Ezra, and he says, I understand what's bothering you in the Pesukim. But there are a couple of things which I feel are so compelling to say that Yisro must have come before Matan Torah, in addition to just the order of the Pesukim. And that is as follows. If you remember, when our story opens, it says, Vayishma Yisro, that Yisro heard something which motivated him to come. And what he heard was, Ki Yotzi Hashem et Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim, that Hashem had saved the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. So the Ramban says, if something compelled Yisro to come and join the Jewish people, and Yisro didn't come until after Matan Torah, he wouldn't have said that he heard that Hashem saved the people from Egypt. He would have said he heard that Hashem had given him the Torah. Wasn't that a greater event? Har Sinai, Matan Torah, this whole, like, the lightning and the thunder and the mountain. And he says, furthermore, when Moshe and Yisro have their little talk about everything that they've missed, in the meantime, it says, Hashem, Moshe told Yisro everything Hashem had done. He saved us from Mitzrayim. He doesn't mention Matan Torah, right? Matan Torah is one of the greatest events in Jewish history. Would it be possible that Moshe would have left it out when talking to Yisro? And therefore, the Ramban concludes in the underlying line in source number 13. Karu bila l'tko seder ha-Torah. So he says, what makes most sense to me is to keep the order of the Torah. And this is actually the Ramban. He's very consistent in general when it comes to the question of is the Torah written in chronological order or is it not? He tries very hard to maintain the order of the Torah. And unless he feels absolutely compelled to say that the Torah is out of order, he always says that it's in order. So this is another case. So obviously then he has to deal with the questions that the Ibn Ezra had raised. Right? What about the fact that it says that the Jewish people were camped at Har Sinai? What about the fact that Moshe is teaching Torah to the people, but the Torah has not yet been given? And what about the fact that in Bamidbar, Yisro is still there, even though at the end of our parak, he goes home? So he deals with each one of these questions. He says, with regard to the fact that it seems to imply the Jews were camped at Har Sinai. So that's not a problem, because we don't read the pasuk to mean that the Jewish people, and Moshe and Yisro came to the desert where to Har Sinai where the Jewish people were camped. Rather, it says, by Avo Yisro, that Yisro came, El HaMedbar, Asher Ruchon Nesham, to the desert where the Jewish people were camped. Har Elokim, and Yisro came to Har Elokim, to Har Sinai. So Yisro left Midian on his way to meet Moshe and the rest of the people. And we know, Ramban says, that Midian is closer to Har Sinai than it is to Rephidim. And we know that Midian is close to Har Sinai, because if you remember, when Moshe was shepherding Yisro's flock, he ends up at Har Sinai, and that's where he encounters God with the burning bush with the snake. Well, clearly it couldn't have been that far away if, as a shepherd, he ended up at Har Sinai. In addition, he says, on Moshe's way back to Mitzrayim, he meets up with Aaron also at Har Sinai. And so Har Sinai is on the way between Midian and Mitzrayim, but it's closer to Midian than Rephidim. So Yisro comes out to the desert, he stops at Har Sinai, but everyone else is still at Rephidim, and from there he sends word to Moshe that I'm here to meet you. So again, he reads it, El HaMedbar, Sheru Chonasham, he goes out into the desert, Har Elokim, but Yisro gets only as far as Har Elokim, to Har Sinai. In addition, he says, the problem of teaching Torah to the nation is not such a big deal. Because, if you turn to source number 35, I'm back. Before Bnei Yisrael even gets to Rephidim, we have this story of Mara, where they end up in this place and they don't have any water to drink because it's too bitter. So the Moshe needs to sweeten the water. He has a cup of hay, by Yitzak El Hashem, by Yorei Hashem eats, by Yishleich El Hamayim, by Yitzaku Hamayim. So they call out to Hashem, and Hashem gives Moshe this branch that he dips into the water and somehow sweetens the water for Bnei Yisrael to drink. And then he concludes, Sham Samo Choku Mishpat Visham Nisahu. That in that place, in Mara, we were given Choku Mishpat. We were given laws. Now this is before Matan Torah, and yet we have laws. Okay, so the Ramban says it's not a problem that Moshe is sitting and judging the people and teaching them laws, because we were given some before Matan Torah. Okay, so then he asks, yeah. Okay, that's true, right? We were also already commanded about Rosh Chodesh. Okay, Kiddush HaMoed. What? Yeah. Okay, right. Okay, so you're pointing out that, in fact, we were given some mitzvah before Matan Torah. For example, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, we already commanded in Mitzrayim. So there were some laws that we could have had questions about. Okay, then the final issue that the Ramban has to deal with when maintaining the order of the Torah is to explain how Yisro shows up again later if he left at the end of our parak. And so the Ramban says, Yisro went home and he came back. Right? Clearly the Torah didn't think it was important to tell us when he came back. We don't know exactly when he came back, but he came back. And then they have this conversation. When they're about to leave, Moshe says, please come with us. And Yisro is reluctant. And according to the Ramban, Moshe has the last word, and Yisro actually stays, and he joins Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, which is how he explains why later on, in the Nevi'im especially, we see that there are the Bnei Kini, the descendants of Yisro, living among Bnei Yisrael. That's because Yisro came back and he stayed. Why does he then leave in the first place, the Ramban asks, and he suggests, perhaps, this is 1, 2, 3, 4 lines up from the bottom of source number 13, Vitachin shalach sham l'gayer ad meshpachto v'chazal l'moshe v'odeno b'har Sinai ki karobu l'midyan. Moshe Yisro went home, again because he was so inspired by everything that he heard. So he himself wants to convert, and he goes back to convert the rest of his family. And then they join up with Bnei Yisrael again in the Midbar at some point, and they say. Okay, so that's approach number two. Again, we have an argument over when Moshe came. Was it before Matan Torah? Was it after Matan Torah? I'm sorry, Yisrael. And then we saw that according to Ibn Ezra, the whole story came after. And according to Ramban, the whole story written here came here. And the fact that Yisro is mentioned later just means that he must have come back at some point. I'm sorry, what? Good, so that's what's a little bit unclear in the Ramban. I'm not sure when he came back. Presumably, if he wanted to convert and to join Am Yisrael, he would come back before. But somehow the Torah makes a point of saying that he wasn't there. He leaves right before Matan Torah. So we're hopefully going to address that towards the end of the okay, so just we want to look at two more opinions. The first one is the opinion of Rashi, which is source number 14. By Yishma Yisro, what it is for her that appeared and forced him, and that caused him to come and join Bnei Yisrael. Mashmua Shema Uva, he's quoting from the Gemara that we saw earlier. He quotes 2 out of 3 opinions in the Gemara. And he obviously leaves out the one that says Matan Torah. So according to Rashi, Yisro must have come before Matan Torah. However, if you turn the page. Vahimi Maharat, what about the next day when Moshe sits to judge the people? Right? If he came before Matan Torah, then what's he judging the people about? So Rashi says, Mutsa'ei Yom HaKippurim Haya, that this wasn't the next day, the day after Yisro came to the Midbar. This was the next day, the day after a very important day, which is Yom Kippur, which is the day that Moshe came down with the second set of Luchot and Hashem forgave Jewish people after Chena Edom. And he says, Be'al Karchacha, at the end of the first line, Yom Shem Omar, Elam Yacharan Yom HaKippur, and we have no choice but to say this was the day after Yom Kippur, Sharei Kodam Matan Torah, Yom Shem Omar, Vodati Chokei Begumna. Before Matan Torah, and this was our problem in the Sukkim themselves, it would have been impossible to say that Moshe sat and taught the people Torah. They hadn't been given the Torah yet. And then we'll just skip to the underline. Ve'ein parsha zu ketuvah kaseda. So obviously this is not written in order. Shelo ne'emar pin macharat ad shana shniya. Because the second half of our story, starting from Pasuk Yud Gimel on, did not happen until the end of their stay at Sinai in the second year of the Midbar. And again, he's also understanding the Pesukim of Devarim when Moshe recaps what happened and says, Hashem told me to move, told us to leave Har Sinai, and at that time, I decided it was too much for me. That's when he implemented the plan. But not only did he implement, according to Rashi, that's when Yisro even suggested the plan in the first place. So again, we saw the Barbanel all the way on one side, the Rambanza on the other side. Rashi now comes and splits, and he says, half the story happened before Matan Torah, and half the story happened after Matan Torah. And the Abarbanel weighs in with his opinion. He thinks that most of the story happens before Matan Torah, which is what somebody suggested here before. Yisro came before Matan Torah, the next day we saw the Abarbanel says, means the next day, Moshe sat to judge the people. Yisro saw that this was very difficult for him. He gave him this great suggestion. But the Abarbanel says, according to the Pesukim and Devarim, he didn't implement it until a year later, and that's indeed what the Abarbanel said, that Moshe Yisro made a suggestion before Matan Torah, but it wasn't implemented until a year later when they were about to leave Har Sinai. And so we have four opinions on how we understand the order of the Pesukim here, but we have not yet answered, according to most of these opinions, if the Torah is out of order. Why is that of order, and what we can learn from that? So before we answer that question, we just want to go back to our second question, which we asked earlier, and that is the question of, why did Yisro even come in the first place? What motivated him to join the people? So if you remember when we saw the Gemara said, asked the question, Mash wa shama uva, this is verse number 10, in the middle, with the second line, Mash wa shama uva, what did Yisro hear that caused him or motivated him to come? But it doesn't just say to come, it says, v'nitzgayer, that Yisro came with the intention of converting. And that's the opinion of the Gemara. I don't know personally if that's so compelling for something that we pointed out before. And that is, first of all, if you look back to the Pesukim in Parak Yechet on source number 2, Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Kotein Moshe. Yisro, and the Kohen Midyan, who's also the father-in-law of Moshe, comes to reunite the family. And that seems to be the focus of the first part of the Pesukim. But more than that, it's not until he speaks to Moshe and they have their conversation, and Moshe tells him everything that he's missing, that in Pasuk Aleph, Yisro says, Ataya dati ki gadol Hashem mikol haolam. Now I know how great God is. So it doesn't sound like he knew for sure until he got there and he had a conversation with Moshe. So what I'd like to suggest is that Yisro did not come originally with the intention of converting. He came originally with the intention of reuniting the family. And that's why the focus of the whole first part of the story is on the family, on the Chotei Moshe, on the wife, on the children. However, once he got there, and he hears all the great things that have happened, that's when he is so impressed by everything that he heard and everything that he saw, that he recognizes the singularity of God, the greatness of God, and that's when he, again, makes his statement, Baruch Hashem, Ataya Dati, now I know. And so that's why perhaps we lose the focus of the family. Because even though it started off as a family reunion, it turns into this story of religious growth, an eye-opening experience for Yisro. I would say our first success story as an Or LaGoyim, as a light unto the nations. The question then is, what was his response then? Did he convert or did he not convert? So he's now faced with the following choice. He's encountered God. He's recognized God. So does he give it all up? Again, he's the Kohen Midyan. He has a very prestigious position, a very important position. His whole life is in Midyan. Does he give it all up to be Chotei Moshe, Moshe's father-in-law, who converted to Judaism? Or does he maintain his position and everything he has back home? But perhaps with a new perspective, maybe even stay Kohen Midyan, the priest of Midyan, but go home and teach and preach something very different now to his people. And that's the question I'd like to address now. So if we turn to source number 5, all the flipping. Source number 16. 17, we'll start with. The Malbim of source number 17. When Yisro brings the Korbanot after he hears everything that happened. So the Malbim says that he passed Yisro. Why does Yisro bring his Korbanot? Kinis Gayer. That Yisro converted. Vipiv Olash and Vihagir. He brings the Korbanot. And the convert has to bring Vinechnas and Brit Mila. With Tfila, he actually went to the Mila and had his Mila. Yisro converted. Similarly, if you look at source number 18 in the Rashi, Al Natazov, when Moshe is trying to convince Yisro to stay with him, he says, please don't leave us. In El Elishon Bakasha, he's pleading with him. Shelo Yomru, Lo Nitayar Yitro Mikhiba, Savor Hayash Yish Begirim Chelet Barez, Akshav Sharash, Einam Chelet, Kinicham Halachot. So Moshe is saying, please don't leave us because everyone else is going to look at you and think that you converted only because you wanted to get a portion in Eretz Yisrael. But now that you think you're not going to get a portion in Eretz Yisrael, you went home, but your conversion wasn't sincere. So again, Rashi clearly thinks that Yisro came and he converted. If that's true, that Yisro came and converted, so then the question obviously is why does he leave? At the end of our parak, Vayishalach Moshe told Noah, Yilachalala, and so why does he go home? And that's why the Ramban, and that's why Rashi himself, earlier, I won't make you flip back again, but they all say that he went back home, the Gayar, the name is Pachto, to convert the rest of his family. And according to the Ramban, he even comes back, and he stays with the name Israel. So this was a sincere conversion, and he wants to stay. The Sfarim actually says something very interesting. Why does Yisro go home in verse number 22? That he insists that he goes back. Says, I'm too old to get used to a new place. Right? I believe in Israel. I converted now. Yisro is a Jew. He says, I just can't make the move. However, he continues, the Sfarim says, and they make a deal. I'll send you my kids. And that's how Yisro's children end up living among B'nai Israel. So I just can't handle it. My body is not strong enough, but I'll send you my children. If we say that Israel did not convert, then why does Moshe try to force him to stay, or convince him to stay, I should say? So perhaps just because he's family, that might be one suggestion, or perhaps it's pragmatic. Says in source number 19. But remember, Moshe said, you can be our tour guide, you know the area very well. So maybe they just needed something practical. Or perhaps the before shore in source number 20. Perhaps there was another reason. Moshe wanted to use Yisro as kind of a scare tactic for the rest of the nations. If he stayed with them, then everyone else would know that Yisro had experienced something great, that he was clearly impressed by what he saw, and that the rest of the nations would be afraid to start up. If Yisro goes home, so it looks like he didn't see anything great in Am Yisrael. Rabbi Soloveitchik, however, reads this a little bit differently. In a lecture that he gave on leadership, June 10, 1974, he says, Moshe wasn't talking Moshe to Israel, one person to another, father-in-law to son, son-in-law to father-in-law. But Moshe actually saw this experience as a messianic experience. Remember, they're on the brink of entering Eretz Yisrael. This is before them. It's only before the miracle. Nothing has gone wrong yet. Moshe is about to lead the people into Eretz Yisrael for good. Jewish history was supposed to take a very different turn. It was supposed to end there with Yehus HaMashiach. We would all still be living there. And so therefore, Moshe turns to Yisro and he begs him to come. And the Rav says, I want to let you in on another secret. It was not an invitation which a son-in-law extended to his father-in-law. It was not an invitation extended by an individual to another human being to share the good things in life. It was more than that. It was an invitation extended by Moshe as representative of Klal Yisrael to all Gerim of all generations, is to extend it to the entire non-Jewish world to join us in the Promised Land, provided that the non-Jew is ready to subject himself to the same divine discipline as we did. Any human being was offered the opportunity to join the march to the Promised Land would have taken place, the march of the Messianic era, If that march had realized the coming Mashiach would have taken place, then the Moshe would have been Melech HaMashiach. Just going to skip a sentence. The Torah was given to us. Eretz Yisrael was given to us, certainly. However, we were told to pass on God's word to mankind as such. So again, this was Moshe turning to all non-Jews in the whole world to fulfill the mission which we are told in the Nevi'im that in the times of Mashiach, everybody will recognize God, everybody will have a place in Israel, everyone will come and worship in the Beis HaMikdash, Jew and non-Jew alike. And so, Moshe's begging Yisro to come, even if he had not converted, was, in his mind, this is going to be a fulfillment of that promise of the Nevi'im of Yerus HaMashiach, when everyone comes, everyone recognizes one unified God, and we all have it and worship Him. So what we've seen so far is that Yisro either came before Matan Torah, either came after Matan Torah. He stayed or he left. And we have two models of what happened. He came to reunite the family. He was impressed by what he saw, and he either converted, went home to convert the rest of the family, and either came back or sent some of the family members back. Or he came, he was impressed by what he saw, and he decides to remain Kohen Midyan, but a righteous Gentile, go home and have an impact on the rest of the world and try to enlighten them in the ways of God. And either model is good. Either model is acceptable. Even within Judaism, I mean, we are very embracing of those who want to come and convert, but we also embrace. And there's no theology that we want to go and convert the rest of the world, but we believe Judaism very much is a place for righteous Gentiles. The question that we're left with then is the